From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Today we'll meet the new leader of Texas Woman's University in Denton. But first, enrollment begins tomorrow for those who want health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Last year's rollout in Texas ran into several roadblocks. Governor Rick Perry was reluctant to play any role, and then website problems plagued potential applicants. Still, more than 200,000 North Texans got health coverage through the federal exchange. KERA's Lauren Silverman talks with the executive director of the Community Council of Greater Dallas, which trains healthcare navigators.
Martha Blaine, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the results from last year, the first year of open enrollment. How many people signed up?
Well, for the entire state of Texas, there were 733,757 people, which is a really good number. It's a really big number.
What did you learn from last year about the most efficient way to use navigators?
We found that the most efficient way is to actually have each person who wants some assistance call a phone number, and they get a private appointment, and our navigators then come to that individual in a public place that is private. And they bring the computer that's all encrypted, and then they spend whatever time is necessary with that family or that individual and help them do their application.
Now, this time around, is it mostly going to be new signups, additional signups from uninsured people, or is it going to be people with questions about their current policies and renewals?
It'll be both. Everyone who has a current policy will have received a renewal letter in the mail saying if you do nothing, you can keep the policy that you have. We recommend that people all go online and take a look, even if you have a current policy, because there are some changes, and you want to be sure that your choice for this year is your best choice. There's some changes in the income, there's some changes in the way people qualify for subsidies, and there's some changes in the actual insurance policies.
Last year, there were some serious technical challenges with healthcare.gov. There was a backlog, and many people, I remember, had to sign up on paper instead of online.
The system is much improved, we are pleased to say. And we have been using it year-round, even though it hasn't been open enrollment. For people who've had a life change event, like they got married, or they moved here from another state, or they changed employment and they no longer have employer insurance, we've been helping those people apply all year. And so we've watched as the system has improved. This year, right at the very beginning of the questions of the system, it asks you some very simple questions, and you answer those simple questions, and then it decides whether or not you can fill out a shorter, simpler form or whether you need to do the full form. So a whole lot of people are going to be able to fill out a shorter, simpler form this year.
That's Martha Blaine. She runs the Community Council of Greater Dallas. Martha, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
More than 600 Latino high school students from North and Central America are in Dallas for the annual meeting of the National Hispanic Institute. The organization was created to foster future Hispanic leaders like Dallas City Manager A.C. Gonzalez, an Institute alum. KERA's Bill Zeebel checks in on the next generation.
These kids are the cream of this organization's crop, pulled from 3,000 students who attended summer National Hispanic Institute programs in South Texas. Here, they'll debate, hold mock trials. Bianca Mujica from McAllen heard about the Institute from her cousin.
He recruited me. He said, you're going to go to this thing. So I kind of had no choice. And I almost dropped out about halfway through it because I didn't like the people that I was with.
But then Bianca started competing and fell in love with the organization.
It's just so different from school. There's not like a set structure. You know, people tell you, okay, do this, but they don't tell you how to do it. So you have to figure it out on your own. And I liked that because I feel like I'm a very independent person, and so being given the freedom to do things the way I wanted to do them was really liberating.
More than 90% of the students involved with the National Hispanic Institute will not only attend college, but graduate. Alejandro Vorquez, a 16-year-old junior from Mexico, wants to study psychology. He remembers a past institute exercise on the psychology of prejudice.
Let's say you have some sort of accounting issue, and you have an Asian, a Latino, and an African-American.
No, that's not a setup for a joke. Alejandro said most kids decided the Asian was the one likely to tackle the accounting problem. Then they were asked who'd fix a plumbing leak, and most kids picked the Latino.
You know, there's this really stereotypical image of Latinos are laborers, and they're not entrepreneurs, they're not visionaries, which is that's not the case.
These 600 teenage visionaries are meeting in the Dallas Convention Center and Omni Hotel until Sunday. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
We turn now to a change in leadership. Texas Woman's University this week inaugurated its first new chancellor and president in 14 years. In our Friday conversation, Corrine Faiton talks with KERA's Vice President of News, Rick Holter, about her career journey and her plans for TWU.
Corrine Faiton, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you.
In some circles, the idea of a women's college conjures up images of parasols and bloomers and secretarial schools. Why do we need a women's university in 2014?
Mm-hmm. 90% of our students are female, so it's predominantly for women. The university actually opened its doors to men back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And actually, our president of our student body this year is a man. Hmm. If you think back when the university was founded in the early 1900s, women were not your college crowd. They were not your typically part of society that used to go to college. Today, 100 years later, and the mission of the university, still serving women and really helping women move forward, but also serving another segment of the population, your recent immigrants, the veterans, even homeless students.
You talked, in fact, in your inaugural address about homeless students. You said the graduation rate nationally for that type of student is 2%, but at TWU it's 80%. Mm-hmm. Why the difference?
When you bring on campus students who have aged out of foster care, they do need special types of services. For example, what do they do on the weekends? What do they do over the holiday break? And the university really is very sensitive to that because it's not just a matter of getting them to campus and giving them free tuition. It's giving them the support that they need to be successful.
TWU has a strong nursing program. I wonder how the Ebola situation this fall in Dallas and around the country and world has changed the curriculum.
Actually, I think that's a point of pride for us. We had 90 students, for example, who were at Presbyterian Hospital, and very quickly with all of our partners, we were able to relocate those students and provide other internships for them. One of the aspects that this really highlighted for us is how critical it is for us to be able to operate in what the U.S. military has coined the VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And this was a very good example of how our nursing program was able to react quickly in an uncertain situation.
What are the biggest challenges at TWU?
Infrastructure and funding. Our institution has grown tremendously, almost 80% over the last 10 years. We really have outgrown a lot of our facilities. And also our student body has changed. We have a lot more commuter students. So if you ask the students, what's your biggest issue at TWU, they will say parking. Mm-hmm. And then next is the student union. Because if you think about it, when commuter students come to campus, they want to have a place where they can hang out and study and build relationships with others, which I think is really important. And our student union is woefully outdated.
You've had a pretty wide-ranging career journey. How does a kid from Belgium end up in Florida and Ohio and now Denton, Texas?
That is the million-dollar question. I could have never predicted that. I think that one quality that we all have to have is to really be responsive to the environment and see where the opportunities lie. And I saw huge opportunities both in Florida and then in Oxford, Ohio, and Texas. But I would have never predicted that I would ever have taken this path.
TWU President Corrine Faiton, appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you.
She'll turn partly sunny later on with a high around 40. It's 32 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.